So two things I found to be the most important in a long-term relationship is being able to be 100% honest, not only with yourself, but with your partner, and trust that they're going to be able to accept your honesty. And then two would be humility and just being able to have those moments where you take that step back.
Sip, get it out of your mouth.
Just like throw right. up on your floor.
No, well, Izzy, cheers. Hi. It's so good having you. I'm so excited. Thank you. Cheers, cheers, and
cheers,
sip.
Cheers. Mm.
Wow, that's such a good AP.
Wow.
AP?
Hazy IPA.
It's a hapey.
It is a hapey. You know yeah, okay. Brewery X really really delivers, I think, when it comes to hazies, and I've really been stuck on that that blend right there.
It's not sponsored, folks. I'm just kidding.
but if you want to sponsor.
But if you want to, any brewery ever would be great.
Yeah,
they started up here after I moved, so I'm bummed. I think this is actually like my first beer I've gotten to try with them. So
yeah.
Glad it's with you.
Fuck it up. Speaking of me, those that don't know, don't remember, we're going to do this one more goddamn time. It's your favorite bitch, Maria. Hey. I'm working on an intro. I don't think that one worked for me.
You
but
know what? We'll
gonna,
get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there. We're a couple episodes in. But Izzy, amazing long-term friend of mine. I have known you, I think, longer than most people in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to literally bring you in. I don't know how we've been able to like stay friends from literally, I feel like years of separating you moving across to the East Coast. You in San Diego and just, I know. And
it's to me, it's funny because it's like, I feel like I either have really short-term relationships with people where it's like one and done out, like one night stand, cool, grab a towel, leave. I don't care.
Or
I have like really long friendships like this where it's just kind of like it just works. And I think it just, you know, we're not fucking down each other's neck all the time, and but we get along. And winky, I mean, wink. I wish, but
we'll
talk about that later.
Speaking of shoving things down throats,
how is Lawrence?
No,
like, Jesus.
I was gonna say how you and I actually met because. Do you not remember this?
Oh, yes. Yes, no, I do. Yeah.
I like sexually harassed your brother at Ralph's. So back when I was like maybe like 15, 16, I remember your brother back in like our scene phase.
Oh, man. Just the full like side haircut.
Oh,
he straightened it every day. His bathroom was like an Axe body spray bomb just like went off and he just like emerged in a puff of smoke. It was great.
Oh, that was perfect. But that was my thing.
Yeah.
That
well then, golden. Yeah.
But that's how we met. Remember, he was like my checkout dude at Ralph's, and I was like, damn, thought he was hot. I was like, slipped him my number, and I was like, yo, baby, sexed me. Just kidding. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't have a cell phone.
I don't know if anyone knew what sex was back then.
No, we didn't have. It was 10 cents per sex. Nobody was sexting.
Unless it was like after 8 p.m. and you were on the Verizon plan.
Right.
That's it.
But yeah, he got off work. He hit me up, and then we made out in the back of like Ralph's. It was super hot. Blossomed into a beautiful friendship.
What a romantic situation. Back at Ralph's.
I like to think so.
The dumpsters.
You know, I kept it classy back
in
the day.
Vibe. You keep it classy now. So
it was such a goddamn vibe. But you know what? You know what I got out of that relationship? Not that I got a good friend, because him and I actually ended up being super good friends after that. Nothing progressed after that nice little hot, steamy back Ralph's pickups.
Love talking about this, about my brother just making out with your throat. So it's cool.
I'm so sorry. I mean, don't tell me that you don't want the same. Hey. Just kidding. Don't tell Lawrence.
We'll talk about it later.
That's anyways, little story about how we met, but I would like for people that don't know who you are, you want to give them like a little lowdown, what you do, what you're all about. Spin instructor extraordinaire.
I mean, Izzy, I am out here in beautiful Southern California. I lived, born and raised Orange County, went out to Boston for school for a couple years. Moved back to OC and then was like, the suburbs suck.
Yeah.
And so I moved to San Diego about 2 years ago. And in my day life, I work in a technology sales role.
Hey, tech baby.
Tech baby. And then at night, I'm a spin instructor. So we're all just kind of tight-knit. Little did you guys know, this was not just a dating podcast. It was also every spin instructor and spin attendee in the Southern California region. So clap it up, my friends.
Snap.
snaps.
We're all
snaps. Snaps. So to transition from that is you've done all of this and all of these kind of different like life movements and, yep. and transitions.
With, I get bored easy. Right? Super bored very easily.
Another thing to add on to this yeah. is that you did it all with Lawrence, who is now yeah. your long-term partner yes. Relationship that you're in. So, yes. and that's kind of why I wanted to bring you here, right? Is because you and Lawrence have been together for how long?
Oh my God. A nice quick 12 years.
Holy, oh my God. Why did I think it was like 7 or 8 years?
That's so precious. No.
12 motherfucking years.
12 years. Holy. I think like November sometime. It's honestly been so long and like so much has happened in like different parts of our relationship, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
I could not honestly tell you a significant like date that we met, date yeah. that we first started dating. Like I couldn't tell you any of that stuff. We don't have an anniversary or anything like that we celebrate because I have no idea when that would be. I yeah. know I met him in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sometime. But yeah. But yeah, he's been with me through it all.
That's, I honestly, I have like so many questions and I was like prepping for this and I'm sitting there and I'm like, holy shit. So my longest term relationship had been like almost at the 4 year mark. It was like three years and like 9 to 10 months
yeah,
or whatever,
right.
which like for me, I was like, holy shit, this is a long time. Now I felt that I never kind of like hit that like boredom spectrum. And, yeah. and for me, it's because I'm always kind of looking for something to do. I'm always kind of like changing what's in my life. Sure. And so I kind of wanted to know, with you being in a relationship for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
have you ever been in a position where you're like, I can't do this anymore. This is kind of too long for me. Like I want to explore what's out there, because I want you to start with kind of like at what age you were, you know, when you and Lawrence got together sure. and like maybe at what points you did think about the, you know, those changes or those pivots yeah. within that relationship.
Oh, totally. So FYI, when Maria says, you know, Lawrence and I have been, and I say, you know, Lawrence and I have been in a relationship for our listeners at home, it is a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. We're not married or engaged or anything yet. So just to preface that one.
But you do live together.
But we do live together. We have lived together for the past, I don't know, 2015. It's 2020, 5 years.
Okay.
And plus like a year when I was in Boston. So maybe 6 years total we've lived together in our lives.
And you have dogs.
We have a dog.
Dog.
We have dog. His name is Amadeus. He's the precious light of my life.
I love it.
It's funny because I knew of Lawrence, but I didn't know Lawrence. Like I was in my own little circle group and he was in Outlander. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like there were people who I went to school with
mm-hmm.
and then when they started going to their high schools, I started going to my high school. Like we would all get together. And then since Lawrence was like an other, I just didn't know him that well.
Yeah.
But then I became friends with this girl and she and I were best friends and he will to this day be like, we were not dating. But they started seeing each other, whatever they wanted to call that back then.
How dare he date anyone before you?
Like, honestly, seriously, just like life did not exist before me.
Really.
But so, yeah, he started seeing her and then some rumors came out about like him being this huge player and like, talking to other girls and stuff. And then they got into some argument one time and me being the best friend, I hit him up on good old AIM.
Oh, yeah.
Never talked to this boy in person, by the uh-huh. way. Never before at this point. Never, ever. Not even yeah. with her. Never hung out with him with her. Never. Just pinged him on AIM one day and was just like the best friend, right?
Yeah.
Like, how dare you do this to her? How dare uh-huh. you treat her this way? Blah, 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 yeah. blah. And then she and I did not remain friends. But I mean, we were friends for a little while, but he and her stopped seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I started talking and we were friends, like just honestly virtually. I like to tell people we met on the original dating service, AIM. Like,
cause, dude, those chat rooms were
yeah. real. Oh my gosh. And every time like you get the flutters when your crush signs online and then you see them go away and you check their status to see if it's anything about you. And it's just like,
oh, dude, those stupid status messages were the bane of my existence. Let me fucking tell you. I'd be like, yeah, just like out and about and I'm like sitting, I'm like literally have moved from like my chair to my bed.
Or like you go downstairs for dinner, like living a hard life on the streets. I don't know.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad I can't remember any of my away messages because I can only imagine how dramatic I was, if knowing how dramatic I am now. But yeah, we chatted for a little while, and then I was working up here at Costume Castle, which I noticed, RIP, pour one out for the homies, is not there anymore.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine lived right up the street from where you do, and I was at their place playing video games, as you do, and then Lawrence is texting me, and he's like, yeah, when are we gonna finally hang out one of these days? And I was like, why not today? And I found out he lived literally down the hill from where I was. And so it was like a 3.5 minute drive.
Yeah.
Drove down the hill. He comes outside smelling like Five Gum and a light hint of Axe Spray. Oh, dude, I bought a pack of Five Gum the other day and I was like, I'm buying this for nostalgia purposes. It's creepy and weird, but I love it.
I love it.
But yeah, he gives me like this big bear hug. And then we sat out on the curb and just talked for a really long time. We sat outside. I had been in a relationship before him that was not great. I was not treated very well. So, like, I didn't trust going and being alone with another guy. Mm-hmm. But he just never, like, he never questioned it. He never pushed me. He never tried to get me inside. Like, nothing like that. And then, yeah, I mean, that was basically, like, how we met.
The precipice of, like, the rest of the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like, we started... I mean, it was just light. Like, he didn't try anything or any, like, we would flirt with each other on AIM or whatever. But when it was in person, honestly, like, my parents were going through a really rough spot. They were arguing all the time. So for me, it was an escape to get away from my house where it was super turbulent.
Yeah.
And to go somewhere. Yeah. And just to go somewhere and feel calm, feel peace.
Yeah.
That's what we would do. And we'd hang out outside for like hours. We'd sit on the curb and just talk.
Yeah.
And I remember one particularly bad day where I just had to get out of my house. I drove over. We're sitting on the curb. It's so stupid that I remember, like, our first kiss. But we're sitting on the curb, and I'm just, like, upset and telling him how things aren't fair or something like that. And he says, you know what's not fair? And he leans in super close, brushes his nose against mine, goes to tilt his head, and then, like, backs up. And he goes, that's not fair. I was like, flip the table, son of a bitch, feeling flustered.
Damn, good move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So all those things about being a player, I was like, you're right.
I see why. And it's funny because, like, knowing Lawrence, like, I almost, like, can't.
He's not.
I can't see that side of him. No. Yeah.
And he was not. I mean, the rumors and things that came out about him, I love hearing him laugh about it to this day, where it's just like.
So when that happened, right, you guys had dated, obviously you guys were like in your early teens at that point. And then like the first couple years, I mean, everybody knows, right? Like you're going through it. It's kind of like this honeymoon stage and that goes on and you're having fun. And then you guys turn 21 together. So you can essentially like go and drink. You can, you know, you do your thing. But then I assume, right, there is that 5-year mark hits. And then it's like the sooner. 7 mark hits.
Huh? Sooner. If you're sooner. Getting to like the point of like being bored, sooner.
Yeah, well, I'm trying, you're right. I was trying to equate it to like my personal experience. And again, it could be dependent on who you're with, right? Because I feel like maybe my personality is just like so much so of like, I'm constantly busy or constantly like challenging myself and hope my partner's doing the same.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking for things to do, yeah, there's like stagnant moments at times, but that doesn't mean that is like a forever thing. I think that there's like this understanding barrier, but let's actually talk about that. I think you're right. So it seems like that's like an experienced note that you had. So obviously that happened for you sooner. So you're bored. At what point did that happen to you? And like, what did you do to like pivot?
So we just casually saw each other for, I think it was like a year.
Okay.
And like no titles, no, will you be my girlfriend? No, none of that. And I was working at a retail clothing store. And, like, everyone was giving me shit. They were just like, he's just using this as an excuse to not, like, be serious with you and to, like, fuck around and, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, the same trope of, like, he's a player.
Yeah.
And then the girl who he was seeing, she and I were still friends, so she was giving me the same thing. Mm-hmm. A good guy friend of mine who I dated for a few months was giving me the same thing. And I just, it's funny because I'm no longer, like, obviously closer friends with them really anymore. I think I follow one of them on social media. But I decided to believe in kind of what I had and like the feeling and the chemistry I felt with Lawrence. So I think it was like a Black Friday, which is, this is why I say, I don't know when we first started, but I think it was like a Black Friday. We're sitting in my car outside after my shift and we're talking and he just goes, so do you want to like be my girlfriend? And what was so sad is like, everyone is so into like the super romantic, like he took me to a park and like the wind was blowing through our hair.
Oh,
and, like,
this is not a marriage.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's sad because I went back and told people that's how I told people this story that it was mm-hmm. way more romantic than just us sitting in my Beamer that after a fucking like 8 hour shift at a clothing store where I was exhausted.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we dated then, like then we were boyfriend and girlfriend for about a year and a half. And then I think what came first was, this is like such a Regina George moment of like, he only cared about like his friends and his mom and his school because he had gotten into college. Mm-hmm. He was focusing on his studies. He wanted to go to UCI and he had a job. So he was working.
Snaps for Lawrence.
And
Lawrence, we love you.
Oh my gosh. So much. And he lived with his mom and was like, really invested in like, he was really trying to invest in like his personal life. By the time I was like, what, 17? So we're a year and a half in and I start noticing he's just like, he's never really put in the effort that I thought mm-hmm. I would get of like buying you flowers, taking you out a romantic date, like doing yeah. things like that. It would be kind of like I would go meet up with him at his work and we'd hook up for an hour and then that would be it.
Interesting. Okay, well first.
Yeah.
So we talked about love languages a little bit earlier today yeah. because you had worked out of my kitchen mm-hmm. table.
Yeah.
Classy. Beautiful. Classy work from home office. We were kind of talking a little bit about like the difference of love languages and, you know, you and I and our differences and things like that. Right. But I guess in regards to Lawrence, do you think that it was because maybe like he just at the time and maybe because now that his love language is like an act of service, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe before that had shifted or changed. Do you think that that was why and what you were looking for wasn't necessarily the same?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. My love language has changed so dramatically over the years. Back yeah. then, I would have said words of affirmation and physical touch 100% mm-hmm. were my love language back yeah. then. Now, my love language is for someone to do acts of service or like something like that for me.
But he wasn't giving you essentially any of that at the time. Literally not even like one like
no, in language. Fact, I was the first person to say I love you in the relationship. And he was the one that pushed back and said, I don't think you do.
Whew.
Right? Like, I would love to hear like anyone who comments on this or replies or whatever like that. Like to have someone tell you that, I would love to know your thoughts. Because again, I think I was like 17 at the time when I yeah. said it. And I was just like floored. And I feel like most people would be like, well, fuck this. This isn't worth my time.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in positions where I've told somebody that I love them who wasn't, I mean, he just wasn't ready. And I think part mm-hmm. of me like knew and understood that he did love me, but he, yeah. one, didn't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Two, and again, maybe just wasn't in tune with his emotion. And what had happened was that I said it after maybe like 4 months and he came back.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. And he, on my birthday, he wrote me a card and it was super cute. And at the end he wrote, I love you. And like, he smiled at me, like knowing that he physically couldn't say it, but it was just his way of showing me that like, hey, like I'm in love with you and I'm going to like essentially aww. Tell you, and this is my way.
Yeah.
So it was just so different. And like, I kind of understood that. But again, yeah. like with Lawrence's perception of saying like,
yeah,
you know what? I don't think you really do. Like, what yeah. is that? What do you mean?
Yeah. Like
what do
you mean? How shook can you feel like down to your core of just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Especially because like the only relationships I had had before then were like a couple of guys I had seen for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And they were calling me baby from day one and it freaked me out. So I broke up with them because I was like, no. And then the only other one was like a relationship I had had, I think, for 7 months. And again, like probably a month in, we started saying I love you to each other. Like, so it was weird for me to get that kind of like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But then by the time he came around and said it, because I stopped after that.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he came around and said it was like the same type of shook feeling of like, whoa, this is deeper than he was right. Like it was, I did not mean it in the sense of like how he's saying it and how we both feel right now.
Yeah. Wow. And what was the difference in the way that you felt at that point? Like what, because people talk about this all the time and the, you know, somebody that I had in like episode two, he was talking about like, there's a difference between who I actually loved and who I thought I loved in the honeymoon phase. Right. Yeah. And I'm a little bit curious where I think maybe men and women feel a little bit different. I don't know, but I kind of want to know your perspective, right? What did you feel and how, and what was the big difference?
Yeah. I don't want to go into like full like stereotypes or tropes, but I think like, you know, we are still getting out of that whole men aren't supposed to have emotions. I think we've made so much progress against that, but we're still building from that, right? I think like the generation after us is going to be a lot more in tune emotionally. I mean, oh God. I mean, like, knock on wood, hopefully they are. We're all digital now, so who knows? But I would agree that I think to a certain degree men and women feel that type of love differently. For me, the love definitely, it wasn't necessarily honeymoon, but it was a love for who he was. But I don't know, I guess the way I would describe it would be like, first of all, we had been physically intimate. We had had sex by the time he said it.
Yeah.
And I knew how important sex was to him. Because
I thought you were a virgin. Just kidding.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. You guys, the podcast is over. I have to go.
My mom is watching. I'm so sorry. Right? I didn't mean to break you off on that beautiful statement.
No, you're totally fine. But like we had sex at that point. Sex was incredibly important to him. Like,
yeah.
And it had been to me prior to losing my virginity at a very young age. And then I just didn't like think as much about it. But for him, he literally told me like via text, I think it was like at a fucking wiener schnitzel, and he told me this, like, weird memories. And he was just like, I can't have sex with you unless we're going to get married.
What?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, so he literally pretty much...
He was a virgin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, Lawrence, I love you. But yeah, like, he was a virgin and I was his first. So, I mean, as much as he did, like, he dated around a bunch before he met me, but he had never gotten to that point. He had turned girls down. He had women had broken up with him before.
Wow.
Because he would not have sex with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just not. And I don't know if that's because he was basically raised by his mom. I don't know. You know, you'd have to ask him kind of where that all stemmed from. But so by the time he said, I love you, it was just truly like that drop in the water and the ripple throughout your skin and throughout your bloodstream. And you're just kind of like sitting there, like recognizing the magnanimity of the words.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Damn, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So hearing it then, I was just like, you right, I wasn't ready.
I think that, you know, that kind of makes me question now, like the times that I did feel that I was, you know, like quote unquote in love, which I'm not undermining any of the times that I have been, and every single time has been different. But I actually just had this conversation with somebody, and I had asked him, you know, how many times he's actually been in love. And, you know, and then he'd kind of asked me the same question, or we had actually talked about also if we'd ever lied when we said that we loved somebody. And my immediate response was no. Right. And for him, obviously the same. However, I don't know if now when people are saying, you know, they love you, I don't necessarily, they think it's a lie, but maybe it's true that they're sitting in a honeymoon phase and they just assume that this like fun and exciting newness is that love. Right. It's the same thing as getting like a PS5 or a new MacBook. You're so excited. You're hyped up on it, whatever. And then that kind of goes away and you're like, well, did I really need it? Like, it's kind of the same as my like old, like I'm essentially, there's nothing new, right? There's nothing new that they're offering. But then there's like this, like you said, like this deep seated ripple effect moves through the body, no matter what happens in life in your 12 years, right? That feeling still stays. And I think that that is like so beautiful and magnificent. And I can't say that a lot of people have even experienced that in life.
Yeah.
And so now I want to kind of go back to that question of like,
yeah,
so you've felt this, you know that this feeling exists, you love them, but you get bored.
Yeah.
So how do you keep that relationship alive through those times that you know that you're going through these dips?
Dude, I think one of the, so there's two big things, and one of them is just, we hear it all the time, but it's so, so important. Being able to be 100% honest with the partner, with the person you're with, is so important. Because what happened was, we had been dating for a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, like exclusively. And I was sitting with him on his bed and we're just talking, and I was just like, I had just been quiet like that night. And he asked me, you know, what's going on? What's going on through your head? And I was like, I'm so embarrassed. And he's like, why? I said, because I'm bored.
use legitimately. Oh my gosh. I
told him. I told him straight up. I said, I'm bored. And he sat back and just kind of nodded his head. And he goes, you know what? Me too. And it didn't hurt me. It, in a way, validated everything I was feeling, because it was like, everyone thinks about, or I shouldn't say everyone, I don't want to generalize, but a lot of folks think about relationships and just this intense, it's me and you, ride or die. I have to love you intensely. And like, it's almost like you commit yourself to like this crazy level of commitment that's just unrealistic. I have told people who are in relationships where they get bored or they get frustrated or something like that, I'm like, it's okay to be bored. It's okay. You just have to, hopefully you're in a place with a person that you love or care about and that cares about you, where you can tell them, I'm bored.
I literally have goosebumps.
Yeah.
I'm not. my whole body is like up in flames right now. And that's, I love that you're saying that, because I preach like communication all the time. And I know that, you know, we talk about this and I've mentioned it many times in the podcast and even in the relationships and friendships that I've had, I've always just tried to really kind of dig deep about who people were and that kind of communication. But I think one of the big areas where I lack is that where I'm feeling these like kind of like inadequacies in my life, and I tend to like push them away or invalidate them or think that I'm maybe crazy and not really facing them head on because they're scary. And I want to know for you, like, where, so you had to pivot because you have two options, right? You either pivot or you run.
Right.
So what happened?
It was like a heart and throat moment. It was just kind of like a few seconds of silence. And then I just told him, you know, but I still love you and I care about you and I just don't know what to do about being bored. And he was like, well, why don't we just back up? We were with each other dating for a year without the title, without the, I have to see you, talk to you, whatever, every single day, every single weekend, every single free moment. And it was almost like the sigh of relief, because I was like, yeah, that sounds good. And then we both... So like ritualistically, I can't even remember at this point if it was MySpace or Facebook, but like went and like put ourselves a single at the same time. And then I think we like high-fived, like something stupid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't like, and then kind of nothing, not too much changed between us, except there was kind of this freedom to, for both of us. Cause at this time, again, we were like, I think I was 18. I think he was 19 or 20. Like, these are key times in your life where you're growing up and figuring shit out about yourself. And you can't, we hear this on every soap opera. You can't figure shit out about yourself while trying to work with someone else.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard unless you have the exact right person. So we just took a step back and I went on a couple of dates that summer. I saw a couple of different people. And then for like a hot minute, I thought I had fallen in love with some random guy I had met on a cruise. I went on a cruise in like that August, talked to this random guy I met every single night from like 11 o'clock till 5 a.m. Nonstop talking, felt super, super connected. And communication for Lawrence and I was, as honest as I was with him about what was going on, was really hard at the time. He wasn't overly expressive about what was going on with him. He, you know, I would text him and ask him like, hey, are we hanging out today? And I wouldn't get a response until it was like 10 p.m. past my curfew. I couldn't go out. So to go from like that to someone who was talking to me about everything going on with their life, and I heard about his career motives and things like that, and they aligned with mine. I came back from that trip just entirely like, I think I love this person and I don't know what to do. And that broke Lawrence's heart. It totally broke his heart. And seeing the way that he reacted to potentially actually losing me again shook me. Like, I had never seen him cry before. And he cried and I was like, what? Like, this just is, like, very stiff, just like, what do I do with this?
Yeah. It's the emotion that you probably needed that you felt that you weren't getting. Yeah,
100%.
And do you think that that's what maybe contributed to the boredom because it was like stagnant?
Totally. Totally. It's a mixture of things, right? You see, you know, I was a teenager seeing all of my friends like go in and out of different relationships and you're just like, what am I missing? Why? But like, then you talk to those same people and they're like, I hate to be constantly dating. Like in the position you're in now, like dating isn't fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little dependent. Yeah.
It can be.
I think my case is that I didn't have the opportunity to date when I, I did, but I chose not to. I was, you know, I truly enjoyed the people that I was dating. Mm-hmm. That was enough for me. I was able to explore myself sexually in my relationships. Yeah. However, there were other aspects that I wasn't able to explore. Right. And because I was uneducated in the aspect of dating, and that's fine. I mean, you can do the self-work that you want to, but until you really experience all these other people's when you really understand what you like and don't like.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is like, that is the key to everything I feel about Lawrence and I, mm-hmm. is until you explore, and I'm not going and advocating go cheat on your partner or some shit like that. I'm saying be honest with yourself and be honest with your partner.
Yeah.
We, you know, after that whole situation had happened, we didn't necessarily get back together, but I also didn't go out of my way to go start seeing people again.
Yeah.
And then I was going away to college. I talked to you guys. I told you guys I went to, you know, Boston for college. And it was like, what am I going to do? Have this committed long-term, you know, committed relationship when we're literally on opposite sides of the continent? No. Mm-hmm. So I went off for a spring semester and I felt like it was the biggest mistake of my life. I was terrified to be out there. I didn't know anyone. It was a brand new city I'd never been to. Didn't have Lawrence with me to talk to, someone who was my confidant.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came back for the summer and then he moved in with me for a year. And I'm kind of glad we did it in that year because it's like junior year, so not quite senior. We worked out a lot of shit that was like how we lived together comfortably because he was not working at the time. He was fortunate enough to have saved up enough to like afford rent and things like that without having to work. But I was working a job, an internship, and going to college, like going to classes full time. So I was constantly busy. And so the like tables were, you know, Lawrence sitting at home all the time, like sitting in the apartment, also not knowing anybody, probably being in one of the darker places of his life. And then me constantly having things to do. I had met a few people at this point.
Met a few people as in to like date?
No, I had just met people through college and stuff that, like friends. So, I mean, we ended up leaving the year stronger because we had gone through all of that. Plus it was a one bedroom apartment. So like talk about not really having space. One bedroom, like 400 square feet. Like,
no, thank you.
Yeah. Right. So I'm glad we went through it then because then he got a job, moved back out here. And then I went back my senior year of college all by myself, lived in a two bedroom with a girl who was like not home that much. And mm-hmm. it was again, back to that like freedom state of just kind of doing whatever. And it was nice. I could text him and we would Skype and stuff like that, but it was not like this constant. And I think that's another beautiful thing, right? Is that Lawrence is not the jealous type. He's so, literally talking about this the other day, he's so confident in who he is as a person. And he was walking around and he's like, yeah, I know I'm a catch.
Yes, my guy. I honestly obsess about you guys all the time. And he's the best.
He's so, I get it. So great. He's not the most, it's funny because I've watched him. We've grown together, right?
Yeah.
I can obviously word vomit my whole life. And seeing him over the years come out of his shell and become more social is just like, it's a beautiful way to see it.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that last year I, you know, we would talk to each other and stuff, but I casually saw someone when I was out living there.
Mm-hmm.
He saw someone when we were living here and it was like, flip the script from that guy I had met on a cruise.
Yeah.
This was someone he got really, really close to and didn't know what the future of mine and his relationship looked like.
Wow.
And that was hard. That was hard, hard, hard for me because at one point he was like, I need space. And I'm like, bitch, I am across the continent. I don't know what to tell you. What
space? How much more space? Yeah.
How much more space can I give you? But I came home for an Easter break to spend with him, and I kind of knew it wasn't confirmed. At this point, he had only said he had needed space and that he didn't think he was a good person anymore and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, this isn't like you. So I came home for an Easter break, stayed with him. Night one, I was like, it's someone else. And he was so upset. He was crying and he's like, I don't know what to do. He's like, she means a lot to me, but you mean a lot to me too. Blah, 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 blah. And so that was like a super awkward week.
Did she know about you?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Anytime we would kind of see or talk to someone else, like, we pretty much made it a rule to, like, let the other person know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of that week came, and I wrote him this super long letter. So, in addition to honesty in a relationship, I think humility is a huge, huge thing. Mm-hmm. And just kind of knowing what you value above all. Is it the relationship with the person, or is it the person's relationship with you? And when I say that, it's because, you know, the end of this week went by, I wrote him this letter, and I said, you know, at the end of the day, if she's the person you decide you want to move forward with, then do it. If she's the person that's making you happy, if she's the person that you feel understands you, I support that. But I told him, you know, ultimately you have to make a decision, because someone is going to get hurt, and I don't want it to be me, and I don't want it to be her. And that was like, I went back to Boston like with that.
My cold black ass heart just got crushed.
I can't believe I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
I honestly always think, you know, you look at, you know, the picture perfect social media, or totally. You have this singular conversation with people, and you assume that everything is, you know, rainbows and butterflies, but you really don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know what, like, you know, essentially what people or relationships are dealing with.
Yeah.
And it's tough and it's hard, and we're completely, as a society, uneducated in how to deal with, how to communicate in relationships, and which is crazy because every single person deals with them. You know, it's like, what are you supposed to do, right? And I don't think there's one avenue, there's no one playbook, one rule book when it comes to relationships, because if I look at what I want in a relationship, it's literally exactly what you and Lawrence have. It's the most beautiful and understanding, and like you said earlier, unicorn person that you could possibly find, you know. And but I think a lot of people look for this kind of like toxic, obsessive feeling that's not real and it's not sustainable. That's not a partner that you want in life.
That's why, like, I say, you, when we talked about earlier, you said that comment of like, what was it? It was something about like knowing what's out there so that you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in seeing the people that I had seen, what kind of always was the case for me when those situations would happen and I would approach Lawrence and I would tell Lawrence like, hey, this is what's going on with me in my life. This person feels this way about me. I don't know what I feel about them. He always has met me with the response of, I love and care about you and I want you to be happy. Always, always. And he will just say, I'm not going anywhere. I will be here, whether that means that we are romantically involved or that we are really good friends. He's always told me, like, we are too good of friends. We are too good of people together. You are too important to me to ever lose you.
Yeah.
Whereas if I approach the other person that I'm seeing by saying, this is my, like, as I told them from day one, this is the person I'm seeing, whatever's happening between you and I, like, it's fun, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what it's going to lead to.
Sure.
Sometimes I caught feelings. I can't lie about that. Sometimes I for sure caught feelings.
That's normal.
But then what would happen is I would get the inverse of Lawrence's response, and it would be, well, it's either me or him. And to me, I'm like, if you're so ready to let me go, to write me off, and to not even have me as even a fragment of your life,
mm-hmm.
that's not for me.
Yeah.
I would rather be with someone who will legitimately be with me through thick and thin than to just write off that relationship and go be with someone who could pull the same shit that I'm pulling, get bored with me tomorrow, and then write me off and then be done.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, then what did I give up this amazing person, this amazing relationship for?
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess in that vein, does that mean that you and Lawrence essentially had an open relationship, or were you just casually dating? Like, what was the discussion?
It was kind of a good mix of both. I think for a little while we classified it as an open relationship, and then we just stopped talking about it
mm-hmm.
as if it was anything. And then time went by and I, you know, moved back here to Orange County and to Irvine and then back and down to San Diego. And that just hasn't, honestly, we never even got back to a place once we broke up and said the I'm bored thing and all of that.
Yeah.
We never went back to like, we never had the conversation of, okay, you're my girlfriend, you're my boyfriend again.
Yeah.
We just never did. It's just, as much as it was ingrained in me from society and my friends to you have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend, it's never really worked for me to have a title, and it's never really worked for him to have a title. It only started becoming a title, honestly, when we like started working and it was like, well, my boss is going to ask me about my personal life, so I better call you something.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way it's been. And now, I mean, now obviously if we meet people and stuff like that on the street, I'll say he's my boyfriend, she's my girlfriend, stuff like that. I think we've both let go of like the open relationship, seeing other people thing.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because it's so exhausting.
Yeah. Well, it is.
It's so exhausting. I've been through so many fights with different guys, like figuring out what I'm involved with and like all of that stuff. And I'm like, it's so emotionally draining. And I can't care that much anymore, which is awful, but true.
And even having the mental capacity to entertain even more than one, let alone two, three, four, five people.
Right.
Like, I can barely get back to everybody in my fucking phone book, let alone Instagram,
for
like,
sure.
Facebook messaging.
Oh, for sure.
God knows what else, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So with that being said, so obviously over time, I assume somewhere halfway in the relationship when you move back, you guys mm-hmm. are back together, mm-hmm. boyfriend, girlfriend, whatnot. In that time, I'm sure that you've kind of hit another lull, right? You get bored, things like that. So what happens in that time? Do you, I don't know, like, have you thought about like bringing in partners? Have you thought about reopening the relationship? Like, what does that look like for you now?
Honestly, I'm trying to think of like, cause I've taught, like I was still talking to, not frequently, but even when we lived in Orange County, I had a couple of trysts.
Sure. As you will.
As you do. Yeah, I had like a couple of different like relationships living here. And that was, gosh, what, 2015 was when I graduated. So I think that was like 2016 and 2017.
Oh, so that's more recent.
Somewhat recent, yeah.
Okay.
Which Lawrence knew everything about, all of that stuff. But we've always, what couple hasn't talked about having a threesome or having, you know, whatever. We've talked about shit like that in our past, but we've never, I don't know. Especially living just the two of us together. Cause when we lived in Orange County, you know, like we had a roommate, a male roommate for a couple of years. And then we had one of my close friends as a roommate for a year. And mm-hmm. then we finally lived on our own. And I think that living on our own gave us a huge sense of freedom. And okay. I think it truly, I have not had a moment to be bored. And I think it's honestly because of a couple different things. One, I have found different things that I'm super passionate about that he is totally supportive in, and vice versa. He's found things that he's super passionate about that take up his time. And I'm supportive of those. Like, I do spin in my free time. I love to go to workout classes. I love to spend my time doing stuff like that and immersing myself in the San Diego community. He'll watch like endless YouTube videos to figure out everything about something. Like, he's really into music production right now. He will like be mixing beats and stuff like that on the weekend. Or he got into utilizing his soldering iron. So he's been like working with circuit boards and stuff like that. Or like our whole trip that we took, which we can talk about a different time,
yeah.
where we road tripped and stuff like that, where he was doing all the research on our solar panels and our battery and how yeah. we would have Wi-Fi. Like, he loves to immerse himself in that stuff. And so just kind of, you know, when you're a teenager, you don't really know what the fuck you are interested in. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of interested in whatever pops up in front of you. And you're like, cool, I'll go chase that for a while. But as you grow into an adult and you find these things, you kind of latch on to them, I would think, a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And so you start to dive into them. And so having someone, again, who maybe doesn't have to, like, you know, fully be super stoked about Spin and, like, is your cheerleader every single day.
Yeah.
But, like, supports you and is proud of you. And he just loves... What works about us, even as individual humans, is he and I are both... I get more bored easily than he does. But we both are constantly in the pursuit of bettering ourselves.
You're literally, like, my soulmate. I'm, like, staring at you, like, as if I'm about to ask you out. Oh, I know.
You're just, like, hand on cheek, just, like, full flutter. It's great.
It's okay.
But, yeah, like, and that's what I loved. That's why I love fitness classes and stuff like that, is because you're typically surrounded by people who also want to better themselves.
Yeah.
At a base rate, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to get ripped, whatever. You're, in a way, trying to better yourself. And that's what I am so in love with about him, is that he is constantly trying to figure out how to be a better person.
Yeah.
And not just for me and not just for his work, but even for, like, society at large. Like, this fucking kid is just so kind-hearted. He wants to figure out a way to run a nonprofit organization that has minimal overhead, that is mostly tech, so that the majority of the donations or any money that can come in goes to whatever topic of interest it services. So whether it's the homeless, whether it's hunger, whether it's fucking cancer, you know what I mean? Like, just any of those things. And so, I mean, not to fucking put him on a pedestal, but he's pretty great.
Yeah. And I think that he just has values that you value.
Yes.
Right? And so I think you guys can...
And he has values that I don't value. And that's what works, is because we talk about them. In the same way that I am able to say I'm bored, he is able to talk about things with me that he might not be able to share with friends or what have you.
Yeah.
And that's what I love having at the end of the day. I love having that, like, just totally open and honest communication. I was talking earlier and I got distracted because I said two things that are important, and one of them is honesty. The other thing, he said this to me years ago because we were having an argument and I was super afraid that he was going to break up with me. And he told me, I can't remember if it was a text or in a conversation, he said, Izzy, I'm not going to break up with you over something stupid. And to me, what we were arguing about and talking about, I can't even remember what it was at this time, but it wasn't stupid, it was big. Mm-hmm. But then from that argument forward, it made everything seem so small.
And so what was it about the language that he used that was so different from other, like, arguments or tiffs or communications that you had?
I think it's because I'm a super passionate person. I'm a very fiery person, which is why you and I get along. Mm-hmm. And I attract a lot of fiery people. So from a relationship standpoint, and you know, I'm heterosexual, so, like, from a male perspective, a lot of the men I've dated have also been pretty fiery and passionate, because I kept on looking for that match of, like, anytime I would feel bored or something like that. Like, we talked about this. In my head, you're probably spot on in just saying, like, it's probably because I was thinking, like, that emotional detachment from Lawrence, the communication I wasn't getting. I was like, okay, well, maybe I need someone like that.
Yeah.
But then it would be, like, any small disagreement was, like, the end of the world. And so then I just started getting tired because I was like, I'm so... Another beautiful thing about Lawrence is, like, there's so many topics and so many things that he just looks at and he's like, God, that's so stupid. Mm-hmm. And then I look at it and I'm like, yeah. You break that down and that's so stupid. And that's such a waste of energy. And that's such a waste of your time. When you could be doing better things. When you could be... I'm not an advocate for thinking positively just for the sake of thinking positively. But I am an advocate for letting go of the small shit. Letting go of the shit that, like, you really think about it. And how is this going to affect you tomorrow? How is this going to affect you next week?
Yeah.
If it's not, let that shit go.
100%. So would you say, I wanted to ask you this a little bit earlier, speaking of, like, small and petty shit. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you also don't have a jealous personality, correct? Or do you feel like you harness a little bit more?
I have gotten over a lot of my jealousy. And I think that pivotal moment was when that Easter break, when I wrote him that letter.
Yeah.
Because definitely before then, it was like, the first time we had sex, I think, was still when we were out of that boyfriend-girlfriend official title. And I remember texting him at my retail job, just asking him, like, so now that you've had sex, does that, like, make you want to have sex with other people? And one of his favorite things to say was, like, maybe. And I was like, cool.
Great, I'll go fuck myself
then. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I'm not going to say I'm not jealous, but I think what the difference is, I am also pretty confident of a human being. I have my moments, but I'm a pretty confident human. I know I'm smart. I know I'm intelligent. I know I'm pretty beautiful.
20 out of 10, absolutely.
No, but for real, like, so for me, it's more of like, there's very few women I'm threatened by, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's where my jealousy would start, is if there's anyone I feel like this person, as hard as it was for me to tell Lawrence, like, if she makes you happy, she was a threat to me because she was also attractive. She was smart. She got him on a level that I clearly wasn't. So that was a threat. Any other person that has ever come into his life, my life, whatever, I'm like, no, like, that person's,
yeah,
I don't care.
So trivial to even think about being upset,
like,
about. Yeah.
It's so dumb. Like, we've been in situations where we went to, like, a New Year's Eve party years ago where, like, there was a bunch of girls there who were all hitting on him.
Yeah.
And I would just sit in the corner and I'd just laugh. And then he'd come over and, like, hang out with me and stuff. And I was just kind of like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I know at the end of the day, the person you want to go home with, and I think that's the part about being honest, right? Is when you can be honest with your partner and your partner can be honest with you, that level of trust becomes rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when shit like that happens, you know in your heart that your partner is there for you and they're coming home with you at the end of the day. And they're the one that's going to gaze into your eyes and brush your hair over your ear and say, I love you. And I'm so happy we're here right now.
I'm not crying. You're crying. you're absolutely right. And I think that for a really long time, like, and I still sometimes struggle with this, where, like, I'm extremely confident and
you are. It's what I love about you.
Bless, bitch. But throughout my entire life too, I've been called intimidating for that factor.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
And it's, you know, we know what we want. We're confident. We're X, Y, and Z. But something that somebody pointed out the other day, and he goes, every confident person is also insecure. And that, and it kind of hit me like a rock, because he wasn't wrong, because I'm dealing with so many, like, insecurities on my own and, like, a lot of jealous tendencies that I have and that are completely, like, irrational and irrelevant. And sometimes I don't know how to move on, like, past those, because I feel like there are relationships that I will be in and I'll sit there and I'll be jealous over things that, like, really don't even matter. Because, like you said, at the end of the day, like, that person is stroking your hair behind your ear the second they go home with you. But what is the best way for people who still deal with things like that, like, to kind of move past that? Like, I'm going to assume that it's building that trust factor, but I don't know if there's, like, something else that you've done or work that you've put in to kind of, like, move past that.
So we talked about love languages and how mine really strongly in high school was words of affirmation, right?
Yeah.
Things, mottos, some of that, I feel like words of affirmation are my love language to myself. Because there's words and phrases and things that people have told me in the past that I just, like, anytime I'm feeling low, I try to go back to that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say I'm not insecure. We're talking about my spin classes and things like that. And when I have low registration numbers, I take that shit personal. It's stupid because I know I'm new and I know I need to build up to it and I know it'll come in.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, it's hard. It's hard to look at that. There's various aspects of my life I look at and I can be insecure about. But one of the things that keeps me strong in my relationship with Lawrence is that comment of, like, I'm not going to break up with you over something stupid. And I'm like, any type of extraneous person trying to come into our relationship is stupid. So, like, dumb.
Yeah.
Check that box. Two, for my own personal life, I had a friend of mine and my brothers. I was upset over a guy and we were sitting down at the end of my driveway, my big long driveway. Mm-hmm. We were down at the end of it. And he was talking to me and stuff like that. And he looks me in the eyes and he goes, Izzy, even when you're on bottom, you're on top.
Fuck.
Dude, I remember that shit. And I, like, if it wasn't so damn raunchy, I would get that tattooed on my chest. Like, it just, it has hit me to my core to this day.
Wow.
And so, mamas, I would tell you the same. That's... Remember that. When you're feeling low, with your confidence, even when you're on bottom, you're on top.
That shit hit me like a ton of bricks.
Right?
Yeah.
Hit me too.
Wow.
Hit me too.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, just we hear about it all the time. And I feel like not enough people, I think, like, tell us that and straight to us, right? Like, it almost seems like we're just reading like a Pinterest quote over and over again. Yeah. Or we're kind of getting the same message. But like, I think when somebody truly knows you and looks at you and tells you that, like, you know, like you said, like, you are worth it. You are on top. Like, there's like stuff, like, pick your ass up.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you have the confidence and you have what it takes. And I think that that's like fucking beautiful.
And there's a couple of like things that I tell my classes, because connection is a huge part of like what I do in my class. And one of them that I'm sure many of us know, Brené Brown, wonderful author, speaker, extraordinaire. She talks a lot about vulnerability and mm-hmm. strength and courage and vulnerability. Honestly, yes, she talks about it from, you know, some of the examples she gives her corporate, but I would recommend any person, read that. Read any, like, Braving the Wilderness or Dare to Lead, any of those books I would recommend reading, because she talks about, like, really kind of digging deep and digging your heels in and being vulnerable. And one of the things that she says that is really hard for me to admit and acknowledge, but that I've been talking through, is every single person is doing their best. That guy that cuts you off on the freeway without a turn signal is doing his best. That person that doesn't respond to your text message when you've poured your heart out to them is doing their best. And that is damn hard when you're a hustler like we are mm-hmm. to admit and to acknowledge. But that's because our best is not their best.
Holy shit. And you know, when you put it in that kind of perspective, I think that there's a huge shift, and a shift in how you communicate, how you respond, how you receive feedback, how you give feedback, how you handle yourself in that relationship. Because imagine you and Lawrence, like, you are, you know, similar people in the sense of just growing up together and really understanding patterns. But at any given moment, you're right, he's doing his best in whatever it is that you guys are kind of dealing with together. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just a great piece of feedback, and I'm going to have to pick that up, throw that bitch on my Christmas list.
Right? It's, and like I said, it's a hard pill to swallow, because you can point the finger so often and be like, there's no freaking way that person's doing their best. And then the other thing I've been talking about, and I literally talked to my class about this today, is like, when is the last time someone has reached out to you and said, hey, I'm proud of you? And if that hasn't happened, you reach out to someone mm-hmm. and say, hey, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And then you go look yourself in that mirror and you say, Maria, I'm proud of you.
I love
that. Do it. Like, just do it. I don't care how stupid it feels, how dumb, how Pinteresty, how influencer, whatever. You take that moment, even if you're just sitting there listening to this podcast right now, take that deep breath, close your eyes, and just tell yourself, you are proud of you. Because we all need that. We all need that sense of pride.
Especially right now.
Especially right now.
And I think we all, and we're all dealing with something crazy. We don't know who's had a family member that passed, a friend that passed away, somebody that got let go, right? And sometimes those people feel like they've hit that rock bottom. And to just, like you said, show them that you love them, tell them that you're proud of them, even giving yourself that kind of grace and ability to say, like, you know what? You're fucking taking life by the reins, and there are so many things out of your control, but you need to take a goddamn step back and say, like, you're doing great and I am proud.
Yeah.
Because if you let that go, I think that that's when we start to spiral as humans and individuals.
Totally. And that confidence and that pride and that every way you can build your mental fortitude, feeds back into the health of the relationships around you. Like, this isn't rocket science. This isn't anything new. This is not anything that Dr. Phil probably hasn't said on his thing.
Yeah.
But it's just such a good reminder to treat yourself with kindness and with love.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to break. Allow yourself to have those bad days where you're on the couch eating ice cream, eating chocolate, whatever. But then start building those words of affirmation for yourself to just say, hey, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Even when you're taking something hard.
Yeah.
Saying I'm proud of you is going to start that narrative in your head of like, okay, I can take that deep breath. I can start moving forward. I'm a huge proponent of, which is exactly why I told Lawrence I was bored that time years and years and years ago. Yeah. I'm a huge proponent of feeling every single feeling you are experiencing in life. I don't think you should ever shy away from something. If you're feeling mad, go deep. Dig deep into that anger. Figure out why.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sad, dig deep. If you're feeling happy, praise whatever you want to praise.
Yeah.
And then dig deep and figure out why. And just hold on to it. We're all human. Like,
do you and Lawrence ever do like the 5-minute journal or anything? Like maybe like words of affirmation practices together?
No, he started doing meditation though. He meditates a lot in the morning. I am such a, either I have two moods. I am on or I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to meditate, I promise you I will fall asleep.
Yeah.
I will just go back to bed. But when I'm on, it's kind of like a not even, I don't need, it's passive for me, but I'm constantly thinking about what I'm doing, what I'm saying, how it's affecting people.
Yeah.
But again, it's passive. It's like retrospective. And so we do, so even though we might not do like words of affirmation journaling, we do constantly talk about like, we work in the same house as many of us couples and things like mm-hmm. that, or folks have done throughout COVID.
Yeah.
We work in the same house. We have 2 bedrooms, thank God, where like he can work in one, I work in the other. And even if I've walked through and said hi or given him a kiss on the cheek throughout the day, we still, at the end of the day, when we're walking the dog together, will ask, how was your day? It's simple.
It's the little things.
It's the little things.
You know what I've been practicing is with certain people that I've dated recently, especially, I've said, give me something good. And usually it's the way to cap the day to say like, and I made it a tradition, especially good. Right now. Because I think that with all the shit that's happening, like we just kind of talked about, I think we forget to look at the small glimmers of hope and this tiny silver linings on every single day. And it could be minuscule. It could be something as simple as I called my bank today and I didn't have a wait time.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So simple. Or like, you know what? I bought a new beer and just put it in the fridge, or like, hey, I had laundry that I've been neglecting to do and whatever. It doesn't matter. But when you start looking at the bright side of the day, you stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes.
Especially right now or in this like shithole that we're kind of essentially going through.
It is so easy to fall into the victim trap right now.
Yeah.
And I was there. I, you know, when this first started happening, I was okay for a bit. And then I want to say May timeframe. I was just spiraling. I was moody. Yeah. I was emotional. I was crying on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell Lawrence to like, please, dear God, stop reading me news titles in the morning because I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And there was one time I was sitting on our kitchen counter and I was just like face in my palms. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's not you. I'm not unhappy with us. I'm just not happy. And I feel so silly now because he was like, did you ever think, cause he just was in this like place of just peace and calm in like this sanctuary of a human. Of course.
As he is.
And he goes, did you ever think it's because like I'm an introvert. So us having to stay at home and not go anywhere and do anything is like my life. Like this is where I thrive.
Yeah.
He's like, and you're an extrovert and you love going out and you love seeing people and you can't do that right now. Yeah. So that's hitting you a little harder. And I was like, oh. And honestly, ever since, I have not cried or been upset about this pandemic since then.
Wow.
Stupid. But it was just like such a small thing to like put everything into perspective of just like, you're totally right. Yeah. So then I flipped I had gone into this place of like not wanting to reach out, not wanting to be overly communicative. I was just so into the self. And then I flipped. And then I started showing up to a friend of mine. If you look up Leah on the mic, at Leah on the mic, she has a virtual studio. Super awesome. She does happy hours on Wednesdays. And I started going to like all of the virtual happy hours, and I started kind of figuring out little pockets and ways to be social. Mm-hmm. And that helped tremendously. And it was kind of the same, like, not to keep going back to it, but it was honestly the same thing of like, I'm not going to break up with you over something stupid. It's just these little phrases and key times in my life that have been that key that have unlocked a door that has just let in a lot of light and freedom for me.
Yeah. So speaking of quarantine, I know that you'd said you'd found like Leah on the mic and these, you know, Zoom happy hours and things like that. Within your relationship with Lawrence, I'm sure that that had affected you guys a little bit differently. Are there things that you guys did outside of, or I guess that you didn't do outside of quarantine that you did in quarantine to, I guess, like keep things alive or keep things different? Because I'll give you a prime example, like even with my parents, right? Like, my parents have never had to spend so much time together. And granted, my dad still has to physically go to work, but my dad is more annoying than I am, or maybe like even you and I are together, right? He's like
us Russians.
Dude, my dad fucking needs more attention than anyone I've ever. I shit you not. My dad needs more attention than anybody I could ever express in my entire life. And my mom is a Lawrence. She's a full introvert. Oh, yeah. So she's just like, please don't talk to me. And so she'll be talking to me on the phone and she's like, I sometimes don't know what to do. I don't know. He's just like talking, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I can see how that can have like such a pull on like relationships. And I don't know if you guys have kind of experienced the same thing.
I think it's funny. We're also, so I was talking to Lawrence about coming onto this podcast and talking about us and just kind of making sure everything was okay. And it was like, I told you, he was like, well, just don't talk badly about me. And I'm like, bitch, like it's about you. Yeah.
It's me. It's my world.
It's me and my world. But, you know, pre-COVID, we made a pretty good group of friends down in San Diego that we were, like, going out and doing stuff with, like, every weekend. And it was funny because it got to a point where, like, Lawrence would literally be like, I think I'm going to stay home because he's introverted. He didn't want to go out and do the things. Mm-hmm. I'm extrovert. I'm like, hell yeah, the more the merrier. With COVID, again, like, unicorn situation, I've never gotten bored of being around him. I've never gotten tired of seeing him. This is going to sound so disgusting in such a Disney movie. There's times where I get annoyed because I will have such a busy day where I'm focused on my computer the whole time, and he's had such a busy day that he's focused on his computer the whole time, that by the time we're both able to sign off, I'm annoyed because I'm like, I didn't get to like hang out with you today. I didn't get to have lunch with you today.
Oh.
Yeah, gross. Like, super gross.
Oh.
I will miss him when we live in literally an 800-square-foot apartment. Like, what the fuck?
My heart is literally just, like, in my goddamn ass.
Like, we will literally go to, like, friends' houses or, like, a friend's house right now. And we're on the couch next to each other, hands laced together, watching TV with them. And they might be on like two separate parts of the couch or something like that. And I'm just kind of like, we're gross.
Truth, I actually saw that like months and months ago when I was in San Diego. Yeah.
Right? Like it's, I don't know, man. 12 years, you'd think there would be more of those I'm bored moments. Mm-hmm. But we've grown nothing but closer together. And I think... Mm-hmm. Now over any time, we're more happy and confident with who we are and what we are than we've ever been.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, not to plug my dog, but my dog has helped a ton. Like, he keeps shit interesting between the two of us.
And I can't remember. Did you want kids or not? No. I know. I feel like we've partially talked about this.
Yeah, that's a tougher conversation. Okay. I have never...
And we don't have to dive in.
No, you're fine. Okay. Lawrence knows all of this. I have never had a super nurturing instinct. I think, you know, being a child, I don't want to say like a child of divorce because I was 18 by the time they finally split, but like being in a situation where they were arguing the entire time and knowing it was because my brother was born and he's the firstborn, and excuse me, that's what caused like their first issues. And then knowing now that my sister was the save the marriage baby. is it's really hard. And then Lawrence and I are middle children, so again, other reasons why we get along. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to be super stoked about having a kid.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, cool, I've only seen them, you know, brought about over bad situations. I see the beauty of having kids. We have a couple of friends, co-workers of Lawrence's, or a co-worker of Lawrence's, who lives in LA, and she has two beautiful daughters who are like perfect angel babies. Like,
yeah.
And her husband are super happy, and they just can't wait. Like, they just love their lives together.
Yeah.
So I see the beauty in both sides. I am never a person of like hard nose of like, I'm a never say never. I can't say I will never want kids. What I can say is I'm 28 years old and I'm very happy to not have kids right now.
Yeah.
And I know for the next few years I will be very happy to not have kids.
So. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. Well, some people kind of equate like that dog as like, or having a dog as the first step to having, you know, to then getting married.
Oh, kids, no, or it's totally like, if I have a kid, I want it to be a son because my dog's a boy. Like, it's gross.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. And your dog
and
is
of course,
so
a dog and a baby are the same thing. So.
Yeah. And we'll just one ends up speaking later right. on in years and one doesn't.
Totally. The dog speaks. Yeah. So,
no,
to be clear.
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah. This is like a Family Guy situation. Let's be real.
Yeah. The dog has a voice. He has a personality.
So it goes to work.
Yeah. Goes to work. Yeah. Provides for himself.
Yeah. 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 So with that being said, so what's next for you guys? Have you talked about it or do you know?
I mean, I know Lawrence does want to get married. I know I want to get married probably more than he does.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about that stuff. So I feel like just saying it is going to jinx it. Cause I thought it was going to happen last year.
You don't even have to, you can just say, you know what, wherever the fucking 2020 takes us.
Honestly, that is where it is at. Yeah. Like 2020 has been such a hell of a year for all of us. That as much as it was super weird. So 2019 ends, we're at our friend's house where I decide a great activity for us to do is to write down like, not just resolutions, but things that we were thankful or grateful of the past year and things that we're looking forward to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, y'all. I cursed 2020 for us because I wrote down, I want to be thankful for 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're welcome.
Rocks back fault. And forth in chair.
Yeah, right?
Just, yeah. But all of us, though, like when the ball dropped, we're all like, 2020 is our year.
It's my year. Whoops, day one, 2021.
Nope. 2021 is going to be my next year. I love all the memes that are just like, right? yeah, nothing matters in the last 3 years. You're essentially like 30 at 32 or something like that.
Right.
So
when I thought 2019 was going to be the year and then it didn't happen, we're on New Year's Eve, I was just like, okay, for sure 2020 will be the year. And then this all happened and I'm like, cool.
Sick, bro.
Yeah, sick.
Oh my god.
For sure.
I'm
so
dead.
Yeah. To your point, come what may. Like, okay. We're happy. I'm not in a place to press the issue. I definitely pressed it like a couple years ago. Not smart.
Yeah.
That caused contention. But honestly, like I said before, like we truly are in the happiest, most confident place we've ever been in. So
knocking on wood. I'm like weirdly superstitious on certain things.
Oh, I mean, like,
you
know, it's okay.
I'm just gonna leave you for Maria. It's fine. I love that you ASMR the shit.
I was about to do like a whole like.
Oh, please don't. Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, listeners at home.
So everyone is like, turn it off.
Yeah, they're just like, well, and the podcast is over. Net unsubscribe.
Oh my gosh,
zero stars.
And please don't do that. Well, with that being said, I do want to know, is there anything that you feel like a little nugget, anything for anybody to take away, anything that you can think of or keeping relationships alive, baby?
It's so funny. Like, I don't ever want to come into this like I know anything about anything, right? It's
yeah.
like really coming back to that place of humility, you guys. Like, I'm fucking confident, hot shit. But at the same time, I'm a human. Like, I have been figuring out this shit. Lawrence and I have been figuring out this shit for 12 years. Like,
yeah.
It's taken time. And I think the best advice I can give you is to not only be confident and sure in yourself, but to also recognize when a relationship is worth it. Because I've had to do that. We've both had to do that throughout the entire time. Like, we've both had to figure out if a relationship, if the relationship is worth moving forward with. And we've fortunately always chosen yes. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that you're going to have to let go of, as prideful and egotistical and narcissistic as I can be. There's shit I've had to let go of and put on a back burner because I'm like, you know what? That's not going to serve me. It's not going to serve the relationship. It's not going to make anybody happy.
There's got to be some ego death to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too. And like you said, right? Love is a choice. And love people tend to forget that.
Yeah. It's a choice. You have to choose whether you're going to fight for it or not. I've seen and been involved in arguments with other friends and other relationships where it just wasn't worth it. They wanted to give up. They were like, nope, not worth my time. And I'm like, all right, there's nothing more I can say.
Yeah. So. Fuck.
So just decide if it's worth it.
Dude, I love that.
Like Maybelline.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I fucking love that. Well, let's close this cap out. Are you still drinking your beer? Is it?
I have like a tiny bit left. I'm a real slow drinker, y'all. That's okay. I don't know. I'm a super cheap date. vibes out for me.
Hey, yo.
My 12-year relationship that I'm hoping to go somewhere.
I'm just kidding. Well, then fine. Okay, do you want to be really lame and high five? I have to end it somehow. Mm. I have to end it somehow. And I was like, I only have water.
I love Sesame Street. Let's do it.
Three, two, elbows.